for everybody down in the AFC South, you got to tell us who won this draft. Did the Jacksonville Jaguars actually help themselves that much? What did the Tennessee Titans decide to do that worked? And how frail are you about that decision? We're going to give you grades on everybody in the AFC South today on Locked On NFL Draft.
You are Locked On NFL Draft, your daily podcast covering the NFL Draft. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another episode of the Locked On NFL Draft Show. I am your host, former NFL and AFL defensive back, Eric Crocker. And of course, as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Ryan Tracy. He's Ryan Tracy NFL on Twitter. I'm at Eric underscore Crocker. And we are here to continue to break down these divisional draft grades. And today, got the NFC South, as Ryan mentioned before. And we're starting with the Houston Texans, all right? With the third pick overall in the draft, they drafted Derek Stingley Jr., cornerback out of LSU. They had another first-round pick, number 15 overall, where they drafted Kenyon Green, offensive lineman out of Texas A&M. Second round, they had multiple picks, Jalen Petrie, John Mechie, all right, defensive back out of Baylor and wide receiver out of Alabama, respectively. Third round, they went with Christian Harris, linebacker out of Alabama. Fourth round, they went with Damian Pierce. He was the second pick in the fourth round. Damian Pierce, running back out of Florida. In the fifth round, they had multiple picks. They went with Thomas Booker, defensive tackle out of Stanford. And, Tegan Quintoriano, all right, tight end out of Oregon State. In the sixth round, they got Austin Deculus, all right, offensive lineman out of LSU. There we go. All right, I probably should not say these names, but got me a little tied up. But real quick, I mean, I usually go on and talk about some of the things I like with this draft class of a certain team, but I'll let you start this one off.
Oh, yeah, because I can speak for it because I know you love the Stingley pick. That's easy. And we know that John loved the Kenyon Green pick. It was a little higher than I had him. I have no problem with them doing it, though, because he can do everything for you. So I like that one a lot. Petrie, I think this is super value. I had him even inching into the first round. So at 37, I think you got yourself some good value there. Love that. Mechie should be able to help you out underneath. See what you can do with the rest of the offense. That's one piece. But in the third round, you still get a starter in Christian Harris at 75. That's a really nice selection. Damian Pierce, I think he's going to play a rotation. The guy that I think is the darling of this draft is Thomas Booker, because I think he's got a heck of a lot of upside in it at 150. Super, super pumped about him. And Tegan Quintoriano, I'm going to hope that he comes along just so we can say his name a lot more.
And then Austin Deculus?
Deculus, yeah. Not the mover that I prefer, but I think they liked him. And obviously, you can't add enough O-line to that team.
I will say, after watching a lot of film on the 49ers draft pick running back out of LSU, I actually like their offensive line a little bit more than what I was expecting, you know, at least in the run game. Now, passing game, you know, we'll see with the pass protection. But as far as in the run game, I thought they did a really good job of opening up holes for their big back, all right? So some of the things that stood out to me, obviously Derek Stingley Jr. going number three overall. I thought that was awesome. He was a guy who, you know, people – we're expecting to maybe be, I don't even want to say a late riser, because he's a guy that people were projecting to be a top five pick. And then obviously because of, you know, injuries and different situations and whatnot, really mainly injuries, they were like, oh, he's going to go around pick 12, 13, 14 at some point. And then late, you know, I also do a podcast with my guy, Tony Pauline. And Pauline was like, Houston loves Derek Stingley. That's going to be the guy they pick. I'm like, man, really, Derek Stingley? Now, I have been mocking Sauce Gardner to them. And I had explained why. But I think Stingley kind of shows they want to do a whole lot of man stuff. And we're talking about a very fluid mover, very skilled, amazing ball skill. So I like that pick at number three overall. Pick 15, Kenyon Green. I think they did a terrific job, not just getting a starter with him. And I like how they have him mention that offensive line, because he can play all over. There's not a position on the offensive line that Kenyon Green cannot play. And then I think they followed up with another, really their next four guys that could potentially either be starters or key contributors. So Jalen Petrie, safety out of Baylor, John Mechie, receiver out of Alabama, Christian Harris, linebacker out of Alabama, and Damian Pierce, running back out of Florida. I mean, if you told me that they have these six guys that I just mentioned, Darius Stingley, Kenyon Green, Jalen Petrie, John Mechie, Christian Harris, Damian Pierce, if all those guys are starters, I wouldn't be surprised. And not just because of the team that they're going to. I think that's what the pushback would probably be like. Oh, well, of course they're starters. They're going to the Houston Texans. Like, no, I think Darius Stingley would start almost teams. I think Kenyon Green would start almost teams. I think Jalen Petrie would start almost teams. I mean, John Mechie, he'd be a wide receiver three almost teams at worst, as long as, you know, he comes in healthy. We know he's coming off of an ACL. Christian Harris, that might be the more questionable one. But then Damian Pierce, a running back going at the top of the fourth round, like, that's a guy that you want to come in and be a key contributor. So I think based on that alone, I got to come out right away and give them an A. Yep. And I think A plus. They might have my highest grade so far. And I've been kind of tough and stingy with the grade. Man. But I'm going to give them an A plus because I feel like they got, again, six guys that will likely come in and either be key contributors or starters right away. And most teams can't say that.
Yeah, I love that pick of Harris. That's going to be, it's going to be a match made in heaven. This feels like a foundational draft to me. They got a lot of business done here. You're taking away a good chunk of the field with Stingley. There will be teams that try to push him, but there will be a lot of teams that shy away from him too. And that narrows down your defensive concept. It allows you to play a different style, maybe a more aggressive style. I certainly hope so. And the way that you built this in with sprinkling starter-level guys all over the place, it then allows you to evaluate Davis, Mills, and then if you need to go get weapons, you go get them next year. But you've got a base that you can continue to build on instead of kind of floundering. The Alabama connection is here with Nick Desario, like knowing through the Belichick tree down to Saban, like that makes just a ton of sense. And I think he got really good spots where he made these selections. There's some upside there. But in building this, I think it sets up next season really well to be able to get something that weaponizes you and has like more of an impact, whereas I feel this is kind of pretty foundational. Like you're not going to have huge stats from these guys, I don't think. But you're going to have good play.
I think so. Because look, they got Brandon Cooks at receiver. They just re-upped his contract two more years. All right, but I think you pair him with John Mechie, a guy who could play outside, play inside. And I really like John Mechie in this game as a vertical threat, deep crossing routes. He has the short to intermediate route running ability. We saw the game winner that he caught on Roger McCreary, who's one of my other favorite prospects in this class at the cornerback position, especially with like the value of it. But I think they got some guys, man. They're going to come in. John Mechie, shoot, we talk about the weapons. Again, I like the Damian Pierce. A lot to like. A lot to like with this class. We are going to get to another class.
Oh, hold on.
It has a lot. Oh, go ahead.
Because I'm giving them a B. I get to give them a grade. Oh, okay. Just because you're so high on them.
I know I give them an A+. People are going to be like, A+. But again, and maybe it's just the names, you know, where you see these names and, you know, you're familiar with them. Mm-hmm. But we're familiar with a lot of names throughout this entire draft class. And to me, the haul that they got, which you should, like when you have two first-round picks, two second-round picks, and then you have a third and a fourth where you have positions that go, you know, have good value in that range with a linebacker and running back, like you should get a good draft grade.
Absolutely.
Right. But again, like I said earlier, the next team, we'll see how good their draft is. They traded away one of their key contributors. How did they replace him? And is that the logic that a lot of teams will kind of continue to work with moving forward? But first, definitely want to tell you a little bit about Built Bar. All right. And Built Bars, that's the snack that really helps me stay on track with what I'm trying to do with my body. Summer's right around the corner. All right. Summer is right around the corner. And this is the time for everybody to start getting in the best shape that they could possibly be in. All right. And if you are going to do that, again, you want to continue to kind of eat right, but have a delicious snack. It's Built Bar. No more sacrificing delicious food for health. You know, with Built Bar, you can have both, and it's easy. All you have to do is go to Built.com and order right now. All Built Bars and Puffs are covered in 100% real chocolate. That means with your Built Bar, you can eat healthy and actually enjoy it. Have you tried the Built Bar Puffs? Because if not, you are tripping. They are my favorites for sure. They come in all kinds of flavors, banana cream pie. They even have churro. And who doesn't like something that tastes like a churro? I love churros. All right. And they are only 140 calories. Sign me up for that for sure. And if that's not enough flavor for you, then you might want to try Mixed Box. And then Mixed Box come with 12 different flavors, and they have Built Bar Puffs and the bars. You know, Built Bars, they make sure that, you know, they have something for everyone. So no matter what it is that you're looking for in your taste with these Built Bars, you can find it there. Most Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to any candy bar, which usually has around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. Come on, man. That stuff's not good for you. So go to Built.com right now and get all your favorites, raspberry, double chocolate, and so many others. All right, they are delicious, and the flavors are all coming out all the time. New flavors, don't miss that. And how you're not going to miss that, you're going to go to Built.com right now and use promo code LOCK15 and get 15% off of your order. Again, use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, next up. Another one of my favorites in this class. I like a lot of what they did. And we're talking about the Tennessee Titans. All right. Now, questionable to trade away, A.J. Brown. Yeah. And it sounds like it's a money issue. I want to ask you real quick before we meet, before we talk about some of these players that they drafted. But what does that say to the other guys, right? Like, if you're Treylon Burks, who they ended up drafting at pick 18, and you see this team like, oh, man, you're trading A.J. Brown because you don't want to pay him. What kind of message does that send to you and everyone else? Isn't that kind of like weird a little bit?
I wouldn't worry about the rookies as much. But to the rest of that roster, the vets on that roster, it tells you. You're not getting paid here. I mean, what else did A.J. Brown have to do to get paid? Right. I mean, is there anything left for him to do? So if you're not going to pay him, who are you going to pay? And that's just the craziness of it. And I think that does set you up. Maybe that plays into Tannehill's attitude about what he has to do and that kind of thing. We can talk about Tannehill and his fumble here.
Yeah, we will. First, let's talk about who they drafted. All right, so pick 18 in the first round, they went Treylon Burks, wide receiver out of Arkansas. Round 2, pick 3, they went Roger McCreary, cornerback out of Auburn. And I'm curious to see what they do with him. Pick round 3, pick 5, Nicholas Petit Frere, offensive tackle out of Ohio State. Round 3, pick 22, Malik Willis, quarterback out of Liberty. Round 4, they have multiple picks, Hassan Haskins, running back out of Michigan, and Nkonkwo, tight end out of Maryland. I'm not going to butcher his first name. Round 5, I like they got the little shifty guy, Kyle Phillips, wide receiver out of UCLA. And then they have multiple picks in round 6, Theo Jackson, cornerback out of Tennessee, second Tennessee cornerback to go off the board, and Chance Campbell, linebacker out of Mississippi. So right away, again, Treylon Burks. And a lot of people are saying, like, man, like, who does he look like? Who does he play like? Well, he plays like A.J. Brown. Then next thing you know, he gets drafted by a team that trades away A.J. Brown. So clearly, and this is a guy who I have kind of like leading in the rookie of the year, offensive rookie of the year voting, because I think he's going to be able to step in. I think they're going to understand exactly how to utilize him. He has a veteran quarterback throwing them the ball, even though the veteran quarterback doesn't want to be a mentor to anyone, but he has a veteran quarterback throwing them the ball. You know, everything's not going to be predicated on him. Teams are going to load the box because you got that big running back there. So play action shots, a guy that has terrific run after catch. And I know his 40 time wasn't fast, but he was running away from guys in the SEC. So I think that's going to kind of continue at the NFL level. So, again, Treylon Burks really like that. Now, with their third pick in the second round, they got Roger McCreary. All right, picked third overall in the second round. Roger McCreary, cornerback out of Auburn. And, you know, McCreary, that's a guy right there who I love this film. Now, I was a little worried when he went to the combine and he didn't run very fast. And if you're going to be 5'11", 185 pounds, you would like to play a little bit or run a little bit faster. But I think he showed more than that speed on film, and going to his pro day and running a 4.47, I think that made up for the mishap at the combine, even though everybody else was running fast, but he still ran slow, but we're going to kind of block that out. And then another couple picks I really liked here, Malik Willis, our quarterback out of Liberty, being able to get him in the third round, 22nd overall pick in the third round. This is a quarterback who some people thought would go first round for sure. I think most people kind of bet on that. And not only did he not go first round, he went third round. And he goes through a situation where he doesn't have to come in and be the guy right away. He gets to sit. He gets to learn. And when he does play, probably next year, well, you got a big running back that you can hand the ball off to that should be good for another couple of years. and you can develop that rapport with Treylon Burks. So I really like that. Then Hassan Haskins. I talked about having big Derrick Henry for another couple of years. Well, after that, you still want a guy that has power and shows a good enough twitch. Saw that at the Senior Bowl live. Really like that. Then one of the most athletic tight ends in this class, in Ekwonu Okonkwo, Maryland. I really like this class a lot. I'm going to go ahead and give them an A-. Going to give them an A-. Wow. So I'm really high on them. I think the AFC South right now, they're putting together some good drafts on paper. What do you think?
I like a lot of what they did. I like a lot of their players. But this overall, the one word that this draft class boils down to for the Titans is risk. They took a lot of risk in getting rid of AJ. They took a lot of risk in Burks. I didn't even have him in the first round. If you're right, then their gamble paid off. If I'm right, they made a huge mistake. They took a lot of risk in McCrary with the length, with the speed. They took a lot of risk in Petit Ferrer, who I think fell down some draft boards because of his lack of aggression and his lack of footwork. I think that he was an average tackle. They might have reached for him there. They took a lot of risk on Willis. Can they develop him? This isn't a team that has put a lot of obstacles in the way of veteran quarterbacks because they don't want to train people up. They don't want to grow guys. They went and got Tannehill, so they didn't have to train up a guy. Coaching him up is a big thing at the quarterback level, and Malik's going to need it. So that's a risk. I think Haskins is plug and play. That's great. I think Chig, his athleticism is plug and play and gives you a nice target. Kyle Phillips gives you an even better target underneath for Tannehill, which as he ages, his arm's not getting stronger, I'll tell you that. And I really like what Kyle Phillips brings to the table. Theo Jackson I liked on film. Chance Campbell I liked on film. A lot of good value late, but a lot of risk early. I give this one a C.
Okay, so I'm a little higher on it than you are, but again, I like it. And Kyle Phillips, you talked about him and kind of being able to win underneath. Not the fastest of guys. Ran a 4.58 at the combine, and you know, again, everybody's kind of burning that track up. He didn't. But you talk about short area quickness, route craftiness underneath. I don't want to give him kind of that generic white, small,
white guy slot
receiver tag, you know, first guy in, last guy out, guy you want your daughter to date, all that good stuff. But just seeing how he was able to, you know, create separation in short areas, I think that's something that, they really need. And they tried it a few years ago with Humphreys. But I think now, you know, having that legit guy to kind of step into that role, I like it. Is he going to be like your wide receiver too? I don't think that, but again,
he could be their three, though, and he allows you to hit with tempo. He allows you to get into a rhythm, and I think that helps Tannehill. So like, I see that as a more than just how good he is. I think he helps the offense as a whole.
All right. We still have two teams coming up. All right. So keep it locked right here. Locked on NFL Draft. Two teams coming up. You know who it is. Jacksonville Jaguars and Indianapolis Colts. All right, Ryan. So I'll let you pick first. Who do you want to go with? All right, you got the Indianapolis Colts or Jacksonville Jaguars. Which team do you want to talk about
first? I want to go with one of your favorite picks of the draft. And here, I'll run them down because I want
to I know who I this is. Opinion. Is oh, this yeah, Alan yeah. Pierce?
So right. It is. So in the second round, the Colts went and got a receiver to pair with the rest of them. Al Pierce, Cincinnati. They come back in the third with Jelani Woods, a tight end from Virginia. Then they give him an offensive lineman, Bernard Ryman. From Central Michigan. Eric Fisher is not on this roster anymore, so that makes a lot of sense. They come back in the third with Nick Cross, a deep player from Maryland that I really like. Then in the fifth, Eric Johnson from Missouri State. Tight end Andrew Ogletree from Youngstown. DT Curtis Brooks from Cincinnati, a guy that didn't get enough pub versus the rest of that defense. And safety Rodden Thomas from Yale, who I didn't watch, I have to admit. He's one of the few. We're like six dudes I didn't watch, and he's one of them. So, all right, it's all you, buddy. This is like your favorite wide receiver pick of this draft, wasn't it?
Alec Pierce. I mean, and I'm not going to give him the generic white guy receiver tag. I think this is a guy who can play outside. He can play inside. He shows the vertical threat, ability to win down the field. I like his twitch and suddenness off the line of scrimmage. I really liked watching him at the Senior Bowl because you got to see him really create separation with his route running ability. This is a guy that has size, 6'2". 210 plus pounds, a guy that ran originally in the 4.3s when they got his official time of 4.41. But again, that's plenty good enough. And let me look at his vertical jump because I think he had the highest vertical. Yeah, 40.5-inch vertical jump. We're talking about somebody, they say white man can't jump. He definitely can
jump.
This
one can.
Yeah, he's very explosive there. So, I mean, this is a guy, I think he's plug and play day one. And I was saying, you know, you don't want to reach up for receivers. And, you know, but I would have really liked to see him go to the Green Bay Packers. Because you're talking about playing for Aaron Rodgers, a guy who can probably be a little grumpy. He's going to want a guy that's going to come in and do everything that he wants to do right away and be on the same page and be able to work inside, outside, do some of the things. Not saying it's Davante Adams, but Davante Adams worked all areas of the field. I think Allen Pierce could have worked with that. But the Indianapolis Colts get him. He's going to play terrific opposite of Michael Pittman. I think that's going to be a nice 1-2 punch there. You got a veteran quarterback of Matt Ryan and what they're doing. Then you got that run game. I think this was one of my favorite draft picks of this entire class. So, I mean, just based off of that alone and everything else that they did there, getting a big tight end, Jelani Woods. I mean, 6'7", ran well. Hard to find tight ends that size that still run well. Nick Cross, getting him at the tail end of the third round. Really like that. A lot to like from this class. I'm giving them a solid B+.
I like it. I like it. I think Pierce and Pittman together is going to be pretty good. I'm really interested to see how they choose to deploy them, because beyond them, I think it's a little thin. I would have liked to seen them add a little bit more depth to their wide receiver group, because Paris Campbell's going to be your slot guy. I had Campbell above McLaurin when they came out. So, like, I'm still waiting for Paris Campbell signing. You know what I mean? Like, and I know everybody in the Indy is. I know, right? But Matty Ryan's going to be pissed off, and he's going to be slinging it. And I like what Pierce can do opposite. What is a stronger, like, contact point kind of guy in Pittman? That combination is going to be deadly, and the tight ends are just getting better out there. That will help Ryan as well. So I probably my favorite one is Cross, but I think the best fit is Ryman, who can, I think, slide right in. He's athletic. He can help them out on that offensive line. He might play next to Nelson. I really like that lineup too. Like, I give these guys a nice solid B. I'm feeling pretty good about where they're going. Now, the Jags, they did a lot of different things.
Here we go. So, number one overall pick in this draft, they took Trayvon Walker, defensive end out of Georgia. They followed that up in the first round, drafting Devin Lloyd, linebacker out of Utah, with pick 27. Then they have multiple third-round picks. They went Luke Fortner, center out of Kentucky, Chad Muma, linebacker out of Wyoming. Fifth round, they went with Snoop Connor, running back out of Mississippi. Sixth round, they went with Gregory Jr., cornerback out of Wichita Baptist University, Division II. Let's go. And then, look at that, round seven, Monteric Brown. There we go. Cornerback out of Arkansas. All right, so look at that, back-to-back schools. Wichita Baptist, that's in Arkansas, and I know because I played against them. And then you got University of Arkansas, Razorbacks, Fayetteville. Let's go. All right, so I'll start in. I remember tapping Isaiah Stanback. First overall pick, I said, it's going to be Trayvon Walker. Because, I mean, their general manager, Trent Baalke, I've seen what he likes and what he doesn't like. And once people started telling me about the short arms that Aiden Hutchinson have, I said, Trayvon Walker, guy that's kind of meets all the height, weight, speed, measurables, length, all that, he's going to be more intrigued by that. So Trayvon Walker is going to be the guy. Now, Trayvon Walker is still – You don't know 100% what you're getting at the next level. You know you're getting a good football player. Where is he going to play? Where is he going to hang his hat? And, you know, did he play at a high enough level, even in college, you know, to where he would be worthy of a number one overall pick? Because, again, this is a guy who, when you look at some of the numbers and metrics, he's not very high in a lot of them when it comes to kind of pass rush, win rate, and things like that. It wasn't just this pure edge rusher, even though he has athletic ability. So that's going to be one that's interesting. Devin Lloyd, you definitely know more about what you're getting from him. I mean, this is a guy who's a terrific off-ball linebacker, shows the athletic ability, saw in the Pac-12 championship, had the pick six, got to see the ball skills flash there. They followed that up. I really like what they did in the third round with not just Luke Fortner, but Chad Muma. He was one of my favorite linebackers in this class, a guy who people are curious to see, like, you know, hey, how well does he test? And he tested off the charts. And that was probably the bigger question mark for him, a guy who is bigger, led the nation in tackles, but on top of leading the nation in tackles, we know he's a tackling machine. Ran 4.63, solid. Bench press, 27 reps, solid. Vertical jump, 40 inches. That's terrific. Three cones, 7.06. That's really good for a big guy that's 6'3", 240 pounds. So, Chad Muma, out of Wyoming. I mean, I like a lot of what they did. Hopefully they did enough in free agency to really help their young quarterback, because I think now that's probably going to be the bigger question here. But, you know, they spent a lot of money, kind of messed up the wide receiver market just a little bit, giving certain guys a little bit more money. But overall, again, another solid class. I give them a B-.
I like that. For me, when I look at this class overall and what they were able to accomplish, I don't know if it was their goal or not, but this is a culture draft to me. This is trying to change the year-in, year-out crap that you've been dealing with for the last 5 years. And it's not all about last year's coach, who I won't even name anymore. It's not all about some iffy decisions they've made, like the Kirk contract. It's about getting your culture better. Trayvon Walker put team first, didn't rush from the edge. He took on blocks, head up on tackles. He didn't get all the stats. He was part of a cog of a bigger defense that won themselves a championship. You want guys like that. On top of the athleticism that is top-notch, that makes a lot of sense. Devin Lloyd, cerebral player, leader, captain, a guy that sets the tone for the defense. I love that. Fortner, a guy that plays all over the place, can do a little bit of everything. He'll play center there, athletic, plays part of a five-man unit on the offensive line, right? Chad Muma, he will be, he and Lloyd, the future of the linebacker position for those two guys. He does things differently than Lloyd. Lloyd rushes better. He drops better. He moves a little bit better. He's a little bit all over the place, whereas Lloyd's a little bit more straightforward. That's a nice pairing, but he's also a guy who led his defense and taught the guys who played next to him and was able to move around from middle to will to even some slot safety at times. Muma could do a little bit of everything. Snoop Connor is a top 10 athletic matrix guy. He's quick. He's fast. He put up good numbers. He doesn't allow himself to be tackled easily. He's got a lot of attributes I like. We saw Gregory Jr. in Wichita. We saw him in Mobile. I didn't see him in Wichita, but that's all right. But he showed some spark too, and so did Monteric Brown. Like, this is a bunch of guys that are willing to go out there and earn what they get, and I think that's good for the culture of the Jags, and it sounds like it's good for their future as well.
All right, so what's your grade for them?
Sorry,
I'll give it a B. All right, not bad. I think we take it a little too easy on the AFC South, but again, I like a lot of what they did. I think each team kind of set themselves up for success down the line. A lot of it's going to be predicated on the quarterback position for these teams. And, you know, a lot of moving parts there. We'll see what Matt Ryan is able to do with Indianapolis. He's probably on the best team in the division. But we'd love to hear your thoughts on how you feel about not just these draft classes, but everyone's draft classes that we've mentioned so far. Up next, we have the NFC East. All right, so you got the Cowboys, the New York Giants, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Washington Commanders. We want to thank you for making us your first listen of the day. For your second listen of the day, Locked On 49ers with myself and Brian Peacock. Locked On Chiefs with my guy, Ryan Tracy. And you know what? It's going to do it for today. So we'll see y'all tomorrow when we have Rob Rang join us. Till then, we're out. Peace.